Money FM 89.3, the best of Saturday mornings.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Saturday mornings on Money FM 89.3, 910 on your Singapore Saturday morning. Welcoming into the studio as my guest co-host this morning, Mr. Steve Okun, the senior advisor at McLarty Associates. Steve, great to see you.
It is great to see you. Great to be here. I do wish I was back in the U.S. this week, though, to see that total solar eclipse, but the studio's second best.
Well, you know what? And the reason you are sitting directly across from me is my co-conspirator partner in crime, Neil Humphreys, has the week off this week. He's been doing some traveling, so we wish him safe travels. I know he's having some family time and some business time. And Neil, we miss you. We look forward to having you back live next week because, frankly, the traffic report just doesn't sound the same without him.
Lane discipline.
Anyway, Steve, yeah, so this thing in the U.S., the eclipse, is got everybody mental. Like, it is one of the biggest news stories happening out there, surprisingly.
We finally found something bigger than Taylor Swift. It is incredible, in a way, what's happening in the U.S. Like, this is the first total solar eclipse in New York in 99 years.
Oh, my gosh.
In Ohio in 218 years. Everybody, I know, like, everybody's trying to go see this because it's running from, like, Buffalo to San Antonio, which is a huge swath of the U.S.
Yeah, that's massive.
Is going to see it. Texas is estimating an economic impact of $428 million from everybody coming to stay there and see this eclipse. Indiana has said that this is bigger because Indianapolis has hosted the Super Bowl. This is bigger than the Super Bowl, the Indy 500, and the Indiana State Fair, which runs for 18 days.
Oh, my gosh.
All at once, this is bigger than that. So it's huge.
So somebody hasn't been following it. It's a full eclipse.
Full eclipse.
And it's happening in this area, this belt, that where a lot of people can actually see it for a change.
Tens of millions of people. And if you don't live in that belt, you're going to that belt. Yeah. And, I mean, literally everybody wants to see this eclipse. There were inmates in New York State prisons who were told you are not allowed to see the eclipse. They took a class action lawsuit saying this violated their religious freedoms.
Of course it did, because they worship the moon.
No. Christian, Muslim, Santorian, and an atheist all said that their First Amendment rights, their right that this eclipse, this celestial event, has religious significance, and they need to be allowed to see it because they were going to be under lockdown because the warden was all afraid what was going to happen. And the prison settled with them, and they're going to get to go see the eclipse
now. Thank goodness for that.
Thank goodness. U.S. legal system working as it's supposed to.
Well, it'll be interesting. You know, when I was in university, I had a science teacher. I had to take, those basic level science classes. And he was part of this fraternity of people that follow eclipses all over the world. They plan their vacations months and months, sometimes almost years in advance, to go to South America, to go to wherever, to be in the right place for – I mean, it's a huge club of people that do this.
It's huge. And I think this ski resort in Vermont, there's got 900 rooms. They've been sold out since last spring. Mm. Reservations were coming 5 years ago, so they're charging $365 for two people to take part of the festivities, which includes, of course, a Pink Floyd cover band playing Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, sweet.
Right as the eclipse begins.
Okay. Well, good for them. I hope they enjoy it. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was off. As you may remember, you were doing the show with Neil and Dan. And I was in Cambodia. First, I was in Thailand, and then I was in Cambodia. I took the kids there. I had a conference to present at. And we just missed by 2 days the sun rising directly over Angkor Wat, right, which is a big deal for people there. So we got there we were there 2 days later, so it was just slightly askew. But it's funny how our celestial world really impacts people.
It's that inner – I was an inner cave person, right? I mean, it's
– our inner druid.
We're hunter-gatherers. I mean, and of course, our world has always revolved around the sun.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And so it continues to do so really in the U.S. this week coming up. It is going to be amazing. amazing to see.
Well, whether you're celebrating that or if you celebrated Easter last weekend, happy Easter. We were off for that. Or if you are still in the midst of Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak to all of you out there. And I know I've talked to a lot of Muslim friends who are enjoying breaking their fast every day, but having great family time and time celebrating their religion. So that's all great.
And happy holidays to whatever it is the Santorians follow.
What? Yeah, who even knew, right? That's bizarre. Anyway, so the heat is back in full, and it has been obviously for a few weeks, right? But it is just really feeling stifling out there, 35, 36 degrees. Yikes.
And you know, and the Singapore government taking action, and it is going to have new rules for workers in terms of how much breaks they're going to have to get when the heat gets to a certain level. And so this is all part of like the climate crisis and the adaptation that we're all going to have to do. And, you know, I just as so hot as it's been this week, I'm, you know, maybe when we're here 2 years from now, we're going to go, remember those cool days of 2024? Because it's only getting worse.
Yeah, we only have to wait about, what, 9 more months until the cool weather comes back. But anyway, but first of all, two big stories coming out of the East Coast of the U.S. And that is yesterday, an earthquake in New York City, which I can't say it's never happened, but it is surely very rare. And then secondly, the story from about a week and a half ago of the collapse of that the bridge in Baltimore by a Singapore flagged cargo ship. I'm sure all of you have seen that. So we are actually very lucky to have Don Pierce joining us, great friend of the show. Don was just in Singapore last week. He and I had lunch at Lau Pa Sat, and I said, hey, could you come on the radio? You're going back to Baltimore. Could you come on the radio and talk about the bridge? And he said, absolutely. And then last night the earthquake happened. I said, can you talk about that too? He said, you betcha. So Don, we welcome you back, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to hear you both.
Good to hear you. Now, you are in Baltimore right now, but you're going to take us real quick to New York City. Your brother is a dispatcher for the New York City Fire Department, FDNY, and you've been talking to him about any kind of after effects of the earthquake last night or yesterday in New York City. What do you got for us there?
That's right. Well, no reports of major damage coming out of New York from the earthquake. It was a 4.8 magnitude, struck at about 10:23 a.m. New York time, and it was epicenter was about 60 kilometers west of the city. So in New Jersey, if you're familiar with North Jersey, this would have been like Sopranos land.
So, but let's be clear: the Sopranos didn't have anything to do with this. Let's just make that clear right now.
Listen, there's no problems here, right? Forget about it.
Yeah, so talk to the guy about the thing.
There was an aftershock. There was an aftershock around 6 p.m. that actually registered about 4.0 on the Richter scale. So this may keep happening over the next few days, they say. Mm. And again, the good news here is no major damage. However, if you were flying out of Newark Airport this morning, you may have been slightly delayed because they had to evacuate the control tower and reposition to a secondary tower at the United facility there.
Yeah.
And at first, the communications were only being heard by the planes on the field. So if you were waiting to take off, you could hear the tower. But if you were coming in, their signal was too weak.
Oh, interesting.
So the aircraft that were departing and getting up in the air were relaying the messages to the incoming aircraft for a period of about an hour.
Interesting. All right. Well, it's good. Nobody seems to have been injured, and they're just telling people to hang on there.
One quick question, Don. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the MAGA Republican congresswoman from Georgia, said that with the eclipse and the earthquake in New York, this is God sending America a strong signal that we have to repent and that many more things are to come. And so I'm just wondering if that message has gotten through in New York.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that tomorrow we're going to see a significant increase in mass attendees.
In repentances.
Perhaps people starting. Exactly.
Well,
devotees starting to do their fast just at the end of Ramadan.
Yeah, right.
Hey, my money's on the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man showing up.
There you go. Yeah, the Ghostbusters.
Just remember, just remember, if anyone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
Hey, we got to move now to the Francis Scott Keyes Bridge in Baltimore. Now, you live about a half hour, 40 minutes away from the bridge, but you're in Baltimore now. You've traveled this bridge gazillions of times. Where are we at right now? They were bringing in this huge crane last week to start dismantling the broken structure. What's the latest on where we're at with that, Don?
Yeah, well, they have two channels cleared, small, enough to move some of the support vessels, tankers, tugs, smaller tankers or tugs, the barges, but not enough to move these cargo ships that we're used to seeing just off the coast of Singapore, the mega container ships. Those are still going to have some difficulties, and that channel probably will not be open at least until May.
Now remind us why Baltimore is so urgently important as a port, because it's been talked about, but I'm not sure everybody remembers or even saw why this is such a key piece of infrastructure.
It's the fifth largest port in the United States, and it is key to both automotive and in many farm equipment suppliers. Most of your tractors and combines and heavy farm equipment go out of Baltimore. It's one of the larger, what they call roll-on, roll-off, or ro-ro ports. So, in fact, one of the major roll-on, roll-off ships belonging to a German company is pretty much trapped in the port because its draft is big enough that it's not going to be able to get out until that channel is fully open. This is going to impact automobiles going out of the United States, but also, because that vessel is not available, imports of European vehicles into the United States.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of political that is going to come out of this disaster, which I'm reading may be the most expensive maritime disaster in history. In terms of the economic impact it is going to have. You know, one question is, who is going to pay for this? Is it going to be the federal government, or are they going to rely on the shipping companies and the insurance companies to have to pay large chunks of this? Or there's that issue. There's also the issue of immigrants and immigration and immigrant rights. I mean, the six people who died on this bridge filling potholes at 1:30 in the morning were all immigrants. And that is because in the United States, it is immigrants who do this type of work. Same thing in Singapore, the migrant workers who do the work here, the citizens, you know, don't want to do, don't have to do. And so this is going to have a lot of political implications, and it'll be interesting to see how the political and the economic and the logistics all intersect.
Yes, President Biden was in Baltimore today, or Friday, visiting with the families of some of the folks that were lost in this tragedy, but also pledging 100% federal funding for the cleanup.
Wow.
And that would require Congress to open the purse strings and fund that. But I might go out on a limb here and say that this could probably be a fairly bipartisan issue as it has so many ramifications for the U.S. economy.
And it is an election year, after all. Let's not forget that.
It is an election
year. Yeah, okay, I mean, this could...
Yeah, I hadn't heard.
Yeah, look, this could have happened, you know, this could have happened anywhere. It happened in Baltimore. It could have happened in a blue state. Could have happened in a red state. And disasters and federal recovery should not be political.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where it happens. The federal government needs to step in, and it always has. And let's hope that the partisan politics that are ripping apart parts of the United States don't come into this one.
Don, we do have to go, but quickly, kind of a last word from you. Is there any kind of expected timeline to get those main channels open to get the big ships in and out again?
So they are hoping to get the main channels open in May. And just one quick thing about the infrastructure. What's very interesting is that while the vessels going into Baltimore have grown exponentially over the past few years, the size of the dolphins, which are these stanchions that surround the bridge stanchions to protect them from being hit by ships, had not grown. And that's one of the reasons why this tragedy occurred.
Got it.
So along with a new bridge, I am assuming you're going to see a lot of spending for new infrastructure around existing waterways.
Makes sense to update and upgrade all of that. Hey, Don Pierce, we got to let you go, but thank you so much joining us from Baltimore in the U.S. East Coast. Don Pierce, Senior Advisor, Tourist Trade Advisory, retired Special Agent, U.S. Department of Commerce. Always great to have you on, Don. Great to see you in Singapore, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.